I love Logic Pro. It's amazing.
No, I can tell.
Actually, no, I really do like it. It's actually been super, super easy to work with. And the learning curve is not super, super steep. For me, it seemed like anything that I tried to do in Adobe, it was always like a super high learning curve. And I just
yeah, I feel that with Adobe too.
See.
Because so. Adobe's kind of like the universal standard for like this industry when you're passing files back and forth, which is stupid.
That is annoying.
Yeah. So I've been paying for it now for like forever. Because I used to use Windows Movie Maker.
Ayo, let's go.
I mean, it's a thing.
Dude,
that makes
and when they
movies.
Stopped offering that for free, wow. I still had to like, it's I had like the OG download file from like two hard drives ago and I found it and I still like was installing off of that.
That's interesting. I didn't find, I don't know. I haven't found Adobe to be too, I mean, I've just started my journey.
I just use it for the simplest stuff, thing. But I can't break through any other stuff. It all just feels so overproduced and I can't get the look I'm looking for.
It's like, I just want to just break through all of the mess and just get down to like the simplistics of what I'm trying to do. And it's like,
yeah, meme a little bit, but I don't even know how to do that. You know, when people like, you know, they do like zoom on stuff and like,
of course,
more like the sound effects. Yeah. So, like, I'm perfectly with the I can't touch. Yeah, like, come on. Like, my voice is a little sore, so I might have a little, like, hopefully not a break, but...
We're all in the same place, because all of our voices are terrible.
Yeah, the snapping ran a little bit longer, and then, the smoke outside is actually, like,
I wonder,
So if I sound a little tired, that's kind of it, but I hope otherwise, no, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, in case if people don't know who the voices are, I am Jonah, and there's a moose in here somewhere. Is there a moose?
Hi. Mm-hmm.
Moose, hi Moose.
Jonah, how you doing? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I wonder if I could get like I don't know, like something that you blow into, you know, and it makes the moose noise.
Oh, the more obnoxious, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Right, you put it right up to the microphone, peaks everything.
Hello, I am writing your show today to let you know that you blew out my headphones.
Oh my god! Actually, people do that, and it's like I understand. No one's ever done that for us.
I'm
not
paying for them. It's not. Yeah.
And that sexy voice over there is Imperial Jedi.
One and only.
Hi, Jedi.
Hello.
Coming to us live from the heart of downtown Toronto.
Oh, I wish.
How is Toronto?
Man, my parents wish, actually. They're on my butt to come visit right now. Toronto, I hear, is nice.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You're not in Toronto anymore? What?
We're going to get a lot of angry comments about this episode now.
Controversial. We marked as controversial.
We've already been dubbed as a controversial podcast. Like, oh, y'all just asked the heart. I'm like, I'm just asking questions. I don't know.
Love it.
I'm just curious. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. Oh, good Lord. No, really. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you're not in Toronto anymore, which I think that a lot of us know, but like,
I have moved a lot though, so it is confusing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. So, what has been the move then from like Toronto to where you are now? Like, because I think you are. Well, I don't know where you are now, and you don't have to dox yourself, obviously. But at one point, that you were over there near, you were in BC, basically. You're still in BC,
right? Still am. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, on Vancouver Island.
Vancouver Island.
Yeah, I'm like close to Moose, but like. Strangely, like by distance, kind of far, but not.
Yeah, it's the ferry, isn't it? Like, because if there was like a direct access that wasn't ferry, I feel like it would be.
Oh, airplanes. Yeah, they have those. What am I saying? But that's expensive, though.
Yeah, exactly. Or, I mean, you could take helicopter too, you know? Could do
They're not, strangely, not that much faster, though.
No, not at all. And probably, well, I don't know. Maybe more expensive. Maybe more expensive.
Oh, way more. Yo, it's a 45 minute flight, and it's like $150 minimum.
Dude, what? It's that bad?
Yeah, the fairy is your better choice. And the fairy only an hour and change. Like, it's not even that much faster.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of see the flight.
I'm going to be like so wrong with his flight. Someone's going to write in and be like, oh, okay, here, listen, man.
Actually, it's only $75 if you tank the... It's like, okay, all right.
Cool. Yeah, the little propeller, it's like the Air Canada Jazz fleet.
I can see that being expensive. Yeah,
twin turboprops are pretty cool.
Right.
I mean,
they're not too expensive in the grand scheme, but just like, you know,
airline fuel is expensive. That's usually the highest cost, I believe, in flying.
Oh, okay.
If you're an airline.
I want the price of like a bus ticket, that's all, you know.
I'm not
if I want to go visit Moose, I have to like pay like $90 if I want to take my car on the ferry just for one way.
Yeah. Worth it though, one would say.
Oh yeah. 100%, but can't go every day, unfortunately, that's all.
Yeah. Exactly. How you were literally just in my neck of the woods. No nothing, no message, you know.
Oh my god, don't you start.
I sat there waiting, you know, and
wow.
I went to see a concert.
Yeah, the Killers, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was good.
Yeah, that one was at Rogers, yeah?
Yeah, right downtown.
Yeah, that's a...
It was a long concert. It was good. It was so well produced. And we were the first night of the concert. And they definitely had one act or one like part of the show that they will not reproduce. I guarantee it.
That's
they had like live fireworks inside and streaming. I was like, oh, bro, I've seen this on TV before.
Oh,
so the whole place filled up with like smoke. And some of the security guards were like kind of eyeballing each other being like,
yeah, that's got to be a little sus. Yeah.
Like live fireworks inside of a stadium?
It wasn't like, inside. Like fireworks. They're the ones that like just shoot nonstop like sparklers, you know, but at like full intensity.
Oh wow.
And they're
coming
from like the ceiling and the floor going up, kind of like, you know, encircling the band. It looked awesome, but it was just like, yeah, very I had a moment where I was like, this is kind of sketch.
Yeah.
that sounds sketchy. And
a little old me who pays no attention to anything was kind of like, oh wait a minute.
No. That kind of stuff doesn't really like do it for me. I'm more afraid at that point. I'm just going like, is something gonna catch fire?
Well, I don't know where that nightclub was, but there was like video and it just felt like very reminiscent of that, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. That's fair,
but it was a great show. I mean, I just started going to a dark place here, you know. Jeez.
I was gonna say, at least you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah, I haven't been like a live concert in forever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
the Killers. Like everyone, like all the songs, you knew them all. It was so much fun to sing along.
Yeah, it must have been crazy, because I imagine like everybody knows their music, right? Like everybody knows. It's just they're so well known.
Yeah, sold out show, and like the entire like, you know, ice rink or whatever was just full of like mosh pit kind of vibe.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool.
The pit.
I've been to a few shows there, and it is it's interesting. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of a vibe. It's a stadium, so it is what it is.
Yeah, but it's not bad. It's definitely like corporate, you know. So
yeah, for sure. That be better, stadium. But yeah,
the Killers had a pit. The Killers had a pit.
Well, it's more like a dance pit, not a mosh pit at all, but just one big open area where if you had the bracelet, you can go in there and just kind of mingle.
Yeah.
Oh, like standing room only. Yeah. A hug fest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
oh my god, I'm so freaking excited to see you give me a hug.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You get it. It's the Killers, you know?
I haven't been to a concert in a long time either, but that's because of money, mostly. That's
fair. It was honestly very expensive. Like the hotel and just even getting there, like the ferry and stuff.
Yeah, it's the stuff that you'd have to factor in for coming over here for sure. It's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially a city like this. It's.
Oh, it's a shame that that's the direction we're still headed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, everything's going up. So. I mean, the concerts are up, gas is up, food is up, housing is up, like everything is
gas
up.
Gas peaked, or they were kind of testing where the top would be.
What can they get away with?
Because now all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know what? Like, you know, five and change isn't so bad, right? You know?
Yeah.
So there is an actual theory behind that, though. Like, that is a thing. Okay. That not just with gas. Jesus.
Oh, I'm gonna get my tinfoil hat 1 second.
Yeah. No. It's not a theory, but it's like a business practice. And I can't remember what the terminology of it is, but where you raise prices to see how high you can raise them, essentially, until people won't do it. And then when you lower them, it's like, oh, we're getting a break, but actually they're just higher than what they're lower than what you raise them to, but they're higher than what they were before. And so, and you just keep doing that until you can get prices up enough to where, I don't know, you're making Bezos money.
Okay.
I feel like we're hitting a tipping point, though, because, like, that's always been going on, but it's really, really bad right now.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how many cities it's affecting, too, because it feels bad here, and then it's like people can just relate from all around the world,
too. Oh, I know, yeah.
It's, like, so interesting to see that it's just, like, it's not... It's like, oh, yeah, you live in a West Coast city, a major West Coast city. It's got to be super expensive. But now it's like, man, it doesn't really matter where you're living, you know? It's just, it's affecting so, so many places now. So, yeah, it's especially like with, Langford. I didn't,
I cannot believe I played for Langford. That blows my mind.
Yeah. I was, it's funny because when you, back when you had mentioned about you're like moving from, you know, Toronto, because I can only imagine, especially now, you've been on the island for a little bit now, but at the time, Vancouver was more expensive than Toronto. And actually,
oh, yeah, historically, Vancouver Island's always so expensive.
Yeah. And then this year, like, I mean, I feel like you got out of Toronto at the best time because for the first time in years, Toronto is officially ranked as more expensive to live in now than Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah. And it was the schools on Vancouver Island were not having in-person classes, and that makes up a big population of the rental market. And usually it's always under 10% here, so landlords have a lot of flexibility. But it went the other way, and I saw for the first time prices kind of started going down to be competitive, and I was like, oh, no way.
Yeah.
And it was like on a Thursday morning, I walk in, and I was like, we're moving. We're getting, like, pack your stuff, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and then of course, like when you happen to move down there, that's when, like, and I knew that as soon as you started moving down there, or like the you had gone down there, like I don't know, just people I knew, people I talked to from here, a lot of people started moving to Langford, and I feel like that must have had a big impact.
Oh man, happened. The population when I got there was about 37,000, 35,000, 37,000, and then it was close to 50. One year later.
Yeah, that matches about what I had seen from here. And I kind of figured, I was like, yeah, because like, Victoria itself has always been kind of, it's like, yeah, Vancouver's the most expensive here, but it's a major city compared to, you know, Victoria
is close, Vancouver, but definitely Vancouver's more expensive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But even, yeah, if Victoria in its own is, it's not cheap.
And then Toronto
right?
will catch up. Toronto is just as expensive, but Vancouver definitely has more hidden costs.
It's,
So Toronto is cheap. Okay.
No, Toronto's like on par with New York. Like, New York is expensive, but I say LA is more expensive, you know? That seems kind of similar.
Well, New York is, well, actually, I think something came out.
Yeah, it's asterisks, you know? Kind of, but
there are asterisks overall. A lot. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for the longest time,
gas a little more expensive, groceries a little bit more expensive, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For the longest time, New York wasn't like the most expensive place to live. And
no,
then,
New York was like, yeah.
And then I just saw something recently and it said, now it is. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, make up my mind, which one is it? Because like I'm just trying to know where not to live.
Kind of like, I feel like what's happened to Langford is kind of like what's happening to Halifax as well. Like, Halifax is through the roof now.
Well, Langford was one of the only places that was really pushing forward with development, whereas Victoria wanted to hold on to a lot of the single family homes. They didn't want to like make, you know, tiny apartments or anything. So they created their own problem, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And Langford is just, you know, a beautiful spot, nice and flat relative to you know, the island especially. And just family friendly, all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And everybody, it's got everything to entice people to move there. And it happened. It was crazy the amount of people that you hear from here in downtown Vancouver that are like, "Yeah, I'm moving over to the island." It's like, it was crazy. It's like, yeah, where are you moving? Oh, Langford,
yep,
Langford. Just kept coming up.
Every day, a moving truck, man.
It's crazy. Was that and Nanaimo? Nanaimo's the other big.
Oh,
one.
Oh yeah, Nanaimo passed Victoria in population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people going there as well. It's that or Langford right now. I haven't heard of too many people going to Victoria. I've actually heard of people like leaving Victoria for the surrounding places. So
yeah, West Shore grew, I think, the most out of all other BC regions.
Yeah, right. It's so
I would be so wrong with these facts. I'm just kind of spitting out, eh? Oh yeah, this so is pretty.
No, they're. yeah, well, you know what? If you're on Jedi, I'm coming down with you.
Listen.
I love it.
Listen, you're fine. This is the definitive podcast.
Like, mm-hmm.
This is the definitive podcast for all things urban, everything.
Oh my
so
God. I'm gonna
we
get
have the facts.
10 years from now, man.
We got the facts.
Yeah. About that, Jonah.
Can we fact check that?
I can't. I can't believe that the way that things are going, because we recently talked about this, but it's just such a hot topic. Like, it's affecting everywhere. Like, everyone's getting pushed out further and further and further. And I was the other day, I was complaining because I was like, well, wait a minute. If we're building more housing units that are towers, then why is it that they're all getting priced out of places? Because you would think that towers provide more units per, like, on a particular piece of plot of land.
Luxury condos, though, so they're kind of a different market almost.
It is, and that's the frustrating about, because instead of them being luxury, they could be affordable, but they're not.
They should be.
They should be, yeah.
100% they should be.
But instead, we're just getting pushed out and out. I mean, even, I guess, out of Langford now, because Langford's not even attainable anymore, right?
Yep. Yeah, that kind of blew my mind, because everyone saw Langford as kind of like, I don't know how else to say it. Everyone told me this, and I saw it once I lived there, but it's the Alberta of the island.
Ah.
I didn't get that until I lived there for a while. And they're trying to get that out of the city. They're trying to get rid of that. And that's kind of a weird feeling, too.
The Alberta of the island. Yeah. What does that mean? For someone who was not...
People have, like, lifted trucks, and they use them, you know?
Oh.
But it's the trucks.
Your off-road vehicle ain't just for show.
Yeah.
Oh, or the outdoors type of kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, like a little, really? Like a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. Mm. It's kind of similar to like Abbotsford's the same way. Like, I had worked in Abbotsford for a little bit, and it was the same way. It felt very like, if I go to Calgary, it felt the same. Calgary and
but they're like, they're aggressively trying to push that kind of vibe out. They're making it like more like young family friendly. Not that it wasn't before. It just, I don't know, like the speedway is getting moved out of town. Like, they're trying to really gentrify a lot of areas.
It's because they have that sort of like, I don't know. They just, there's a vibe. You know what I mean? There's a vibe to the island, right? There's just certain.
Yeah, but you need like distinctly different areas.
Oh, 100% you do. 100% you do. But I bet they're passionate about that vibe. That Vancouver island.
It's weird because, like, having lived in Toronto, like, Langford feels almost now like a Vic West, almost like a new city that kind of evolved.
Okay.
Like the kind of like amalgamated Toronto, like the Mississauga of the West kind of thing.
Yeah,
and then Souk, where I live now, is like, it's so distinctly different because the whole township is only 14,000, and that includes like everywhere,
tiny.
The boonies and everything.
Dang, and so it's we're tiny,
like,
eh?
Depends on what part you include, but it's like, you know, three traffic lights total kind of thing.
Yeah, that's, yeah, wow. It's, but also, you, that's, it's a super interesting spot. I really like Souk.
Everyone says Souk initially. I don't know why. I even said that too before I knew.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Just like looking at it, it's like, it's got to be Souk. Yeah. but it's, I like the location of it and the way that it faces the ocean. I love
that. Oh, man. Dude. It feels so like a movie set. Like, that's, right, I cannot remember this place is real.
Yeah. It's, oh, man. 100% it does. Like, you could put on Oasis's Wonderwall, sit down by the dock, and just feel like you're in a movie scene.
This guy. And, do we have to pay royalties for that? How does that work?
It's probably works similar to the Raid Shadow Legends deal, yeah? Or,
why specifically Wonderwall? I gotta know.
You know, Wonderwall's just that one where you can, like, unanimously agree that if you put it on,
everyone
you're in the right
it,
setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows it. And, you know, you put it on, you're in the right headset, and
what is,
then...
Yeah, I just posted a picture. This is, this is what I mean. It's like a movie set. This is from, like, down the street from me.
Wow.
Yep. That seems like not real, right? That's just like the main harbor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, oh man, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous.
Well, that's America in the distance.
I was going to say that must be America in the
distance. Port Angeles way in the yonder.
That is pretty.
America.
The America part is pretty. The prettiest part of the picture.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. you can see this is from a few days ago. You can see the wildfire had like only just started. You can see the clouds a little bit different here.
Wait, so are you, is that the smoke problem is a bunch of wildfires that you guys are having around you?
Yeah, and the ones from Moose at least are on the mainland, whereas like the island's getting affected by the ones in Washington.
Yeah, ours is also I don't know if you saw the news. It's I won't dive into it too much. It's pretty intense, but yeah, for the past 24 hours, we've had five fires set in the city. It's kind of
I haven't seen that
kind of nuts. So yeah, the air quality here, horrible. It's been absolutely nuts. There was one close to me that happened on stream, and there was an explosion involved in that one. It was crazy. Yikes. But yeah, it's wild. It's wild over here. The island looking real nice lately.
So, dude, anytime you want to come, man.
But yeah, other than that, we get the one near Hope, and then we're getting the smoke. Yeah, so it's like smoke from that. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So it's that, the wildfire, and then combined with the city itself is actually on fire. You know, so you get the smoke from that as well. It's like, damn.
Okay,
well, I'm gonna just chill inside.
The city is not on fire. Let's
No. There's of course a bunch of big, I don't big want fires people... and.
Start writing in and be like, is Moose okay? What's going on in Vancouver? I haven't seen anything.
It's just a bunch of fires in 24 hours that add to the smoke. It's been.
I didn't know that wildfires were a thing out there, though.
Yep. They're a huge, huge, deadly thing out here.
It'll be a naturally occurring thing anyway, just because of the renewal cycle, mm-hmm. but sometimes they get way out of control.
Luckily, though, now feels like the worst part of it. Last year was the worst. That was when we
that
set
was
the record.
Incredible. That was like nothing else. Man. That was apocalyptic.
That was crazy because it set the record for hottest temperature recorded in BC.
And that was on top of the fires.
I don't know how bad it was on the island, but we hit 49 degrees Celsius.
I have pictures where I'm sitting in my car and it's 43 degrees on the
crazy
thermometer.
Eh? Yeah.
And that's like over 100, over 100 Fahrenheit.
That's hot.
So, yeah.
Like 114, 110 maybe around there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And not like hot in a good way. Like, that's just actually hot.
Yeah.
And then while the air is full of smoke, so it's just like uncomfortable to be outside.
Especially, too, it's, I don't know how it compares to like Toronto. Did you, like coming down to BC, did you have trouble getting used to the, because I feel like it's more humid here. Like, we have really bad humidity here.
It's different. It's different on the mainland for sure. Okay. Like, even from like Langford to Souk, the difference is pretty wild.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Because I know
Strangely was pretty hot and actually got pretty humid as well, whereas Souk has like a bit more of a constant breeze.
Nice. It's got.
And then Toronto humidity was something so different. That was just like, you could be standing still and pouring sweat. It was just not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's like Vancouver in any typical day here in the downtown, whatever, you go anywhere from 60-90% humidity. That's an average day for Vancouver,
that's
right?
Too, but I feel like you get a pinch more breeze in Vancouver just because of the ocean.
For sure, 100%. Yeah, I guess it's not that breezy, where it is in Toronto, probably.
No, it kind of is because you're on like Lake Ontario, but it can be pretty stale at the same time, or the wind that's coming is warm. So,
yeah, interesting.
Yeah, Toronto definitely gets hot. Like most days, high 30s. But everyone's got AC over there, so it's a bit more. You get used to it, I guess.
And you get the proper winters too, eh? Which I don't think I mean, I don't know how winter on the island compares to downtown, but it ain't Toronto.
That doesn't
winter.
Sound like a selling point to me.
Vancouver Island has the best winters for sure.
Yeah, they do, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, last year was the worst winter they've had in like 30 years or something crazy, and it felt like a mild Toronto winter. So I was like,
that's the thing, right? Yeah. That was your first time there, right?
Yeah, officially, yeah.
Anytime you move to a place that has winters for the first time, it's always the worst one in 30 years. It was the same thing when I moved up here. Except that was actually bad. Yeah. It was like 5 feet of snow all the time on the ground. You couldn't see around corners. It was kind of bad.
That was kind of what it was like going through the Rockies, because I left in late March, and like winter was still 100% happening in the Rocky Mountains. I thought it was like, springtime. No.
What a trip that was, for you? Like,
oh, dude, it was cool. I enjoyed it. I would do that again. That's how much I enjoyed it.
You would,
it.
Hey? Okay, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. Because I know some people really, even just like the drive, it's the Rockies, right? That's the part that people don't like, because just the drive
the moving
from
truck in the ice and stuff. Oh.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you drove in the ice with a moving truck?
Yeah, the sketchiest thing was going like downhill, and you could feel the back end of the truck kind of like slipping out a bit. And to correct that, you'd have to speed up, but you can see that you have to turn soon.
Mm-mm. That's going to be a hard no for me, because this is one of the reasons I don't even want to drive one of those things when it's hot and dry.
Exhilarated.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like you're really living your life. Like every second counts. I've never felt more alive. I don't know how to. It was an experience, and I would honestly do it again. Yeah. I don't know how to describe that. It's a weird one.
I'll stick to partners' family is all from Calgary, so we've done that trip from here to Calgary many, many times, but we haven't done it in the winter. We just fly because it can be a bit intense on the Rockies.
Yo, okay, they upped the speed limit too, and there were people that were doing it. That was what's crazy.
Oh yeah, that's it's so for me it's the Coca-Cola, like that's the one that I've done in the winter constantly growing up in Kamloops, going back, you know, for the holidays, right? And I'll drive that one, and I thought that was bad, but yeah, people will do 100%, they'll do the speed limit, yeah, because yeah, it's 120
now, yeah
120 on the Coca-Cola, right? And dead of winter, the roads are covered in snow, everything's icy, people ripping 120.
Yeah, I know. Or faster.
Yeah, exactly, or faster. Yeah.
Oh, of course. That's that's not the limit. That's the base. You know, everybody knows that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just a suggested, right? 120.
Suggested.
In the middle of winter.
In the middle of winter. Yeah.
No, I enjoy your vibe. You guys are fun to talk to.
Thanks. Well, Jedi.
First of all,
thank you.
We try. We don't really.
Yeah.
I can tell you guys do try, but like you make it seem effortless, which takes a lot of work, though, you know? So it's like that really fine line, but you guys are dancing it very well.
Yeah, I just spend, I don't know, maybe 4 hours just practicing in the mirror and, you know.
Sorry, I have to go faint real quick. I'll be right back.
Oh, you stop it. No, you guys are part of this. You do. You can tell.
It's been a little bit of a struggle, only because of, like, the time that it takes. Well, for me, anyway. Like, the time that it takes to do this. I know that we were kind of talking a little bit about, like, we were thinking about doing video. We've already mentioned that we're talking about this, so that we're not like dropping any.
I'm like, whoa, exciting new hot news. How do I react? But yeah, okay.
We haven't announced when or what it will be, but you know, we've talked about it. But it's like, where do you find time to do all this? Because like, I know that you have a presence on YouTube as well as on Twitch, and I just am struggling to find time.
Oh, it's a weird balance. Yeah. And you sometimes can't like force creativity. So if you have like a scheduled work day, you just sometimes can't work within those boundaries, which is annoying.
Exactly.
It's like otherwise your favorite writer would just lock themselves in a hotel every weekend and put a new book out, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. It's tough. And then there's outside factors. Like sometimes internet goes down, you know, be able to have a call hypothetically, or you know, your game's not working, or
yeah, right.
You're in a weird mood, you know? Maybe not feeling well or something. So.
Or Firebot decides to update before a stream and then doesn't start. And then you're 30 minutes late because you're trying to reinstall the bot in a Windows VM. That didn't happen today at all. No.
No.
But I feel like the main thing is it's like quality over quantity. And if you are going to produce bad, you know, content that day, don't do it. Don't put yourself out there. Mm-hmm.
I have said that, well, something along the lines of that, but I'm glad that you said that because I think that some people do feel like that they need to just push and do all this. Yeah.
It's unhealthy sometimes.
If you have the energy and the time and the space to do that, and you're not like completely ruining your mental health and your physical health, then I guess more power to you. But if you're struggling,
100%, yeah. And momentum and all those things are real things too. You could be doing like short streams per day and keep it going, and like if you have momentum in your win, like that is
you don't have to do 6 hour streams every day. And
the you know, quality over quantity.
Exactly. If you happen to vibe one day and there's a 6 hour stream and everything is good, then fine. But like, actually, the general consensus is the shorter the better. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like I hear that 3 to 5 hours is good enough. I don't know how you feel about that.
It depends on how you're scheduling it. Mm-hmm. If you're consistent, you can get away with a shorter stream. If you're a little bit iffy on your start time and end time, it should be a bit longer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just so more people can kind of discover you. And also, like, you know, it depends on time zone, what time you're starting, you know, what day is it.
Yeah.
Did you say discover?
Do
people discover people?
Did I say discover?
Yeah, you did say discover.
So Twitch does do discoverability. It's just not great, and it's in their best interest to promote people that are already doing well because they have a winning formula.
Yeah,
like, it is a business, right?
Yep, 100%.
I know.
So Twitch definitely could go out there and do more, but it comes at a cost to them. And just like, you know, who are you? How do you know? How are you better than the next person next to you? Right.
I know, but I still have
to
complain
about it. Specifically,
Jonah,
but yeah, I know, you're very welcome to, of course.
I have to complain about it. I'm just like, yeah. And I have said as much, actually on stream, not on a podcast, but one of the things, like, with the whole host button going away is, like, or not host button, but, like, the host feature, is, like, it does actually provide, it just...
Well, it's changing, though. It's changing. It's not really going away. It's changing.
Changing
So you're going to build a carousel of people that you like. So you could put Moose down there. You could put me down there.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you go visit your channel, you can kind of rotate between those in the carousel. So it's kind of like hosting, but you can host multiple channels at once. And then won't have like chat with it. You have to click to go in. So it won't confuse people who don't understand that you have to like chat in their chat.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So it's really not too bad. I was really against it, but this is not terrible.
Well, I heard about that, but I thought that somebody was just speculating on that. But I guess, was that like in the I guess I must have missed that part of it.
I don't know where I read that. Okay. I could be totally wrong. Like, I don't know where I get half my stuff from anyways. It could also be NDA. I could be in big trouble right now, too.
Again, this is totally factual where everything is verified.
I'm going to get sued. This is like twice in one podcast, man. Jesus.
Hey, no,
you're good. No, but like, that's the thing. Like, I've heard about this carousel thing. I just, I got caught up in all the chatter about it, and I just saw the announcement of the host going away. I wonder if they could have
fixed the chat thing and then kept it how it was and maybe added that as an extra feature if you're not hosting someone, you know, by default, that kind of would go to it.
Because my thing about it is, you know, it's one of those things where it's super easy to complain about because they're removing something and some people liked it, some people didn't, some people are cheering and all that stuff. My thing is I'm just all like, okay, you're removing a discoverability feature. What feature are you giving us to discover with? And, you know, I would think it would be in their best interest to have people discover more, especially if they're going to start doing this, you know, start throwing ad down the gauntlet. The more people you put ads in front of eyes, don't you make more money that way? Twitch?
I don't know what I'm allowed to really say, but it just depends on your viewership. So you kind of like get put into like a category when they're selling the ads. So
yeah,
yes, they're putting a lot of ads out there, but if there's not a lot of eyeballs seeing those ads, then it's kind of like,
I'm thinking about the quantity though. Well, I don't know. I guess
I don't really know enough about this, and stuff I probably can't talk too much about. But
yeah.
No, that's fine.
At the end of the day, you don't pay any money to stream, which is kind of a nice feature. So
yeah, we don't need you to say anything you don't need to say. So
no, I don't even know what I'm allowed to say or not say. I don't even know what I know.
I usually say err on the side of just don't say anything.
Exactly. But no, I mean, it does cost money. There's Twitch staff, like, you know, your stream, like someone's producing it somewhere. Some computer's working.
Yeah.
This hamster's running somewhere.
Yeah. And
you may not become profitable as an affiliate or a streamer, which is totally fine. That's not the end of the world, right?
Because I guess if there's only so many eyeballs out there, if those eyeballs are watching the same streamer, it's the same amount of eyeballs that they were spread out a bunch of other people. But maybe the way that works out in the back end that we don't know about, maybe that changes, you know, how they make money on that stuff. Because that may not be super interesting to the person that isn't a streamer and that's just a viewer. They're just like, I don't care. I just want to watch a streamer and I don't want to see ads. But it's important because, like you said, it's a business and it's both a business for Twitch and also for people who are using the platform. And so if people are going to devote their time to something for so long, they're going to want to get compensated for it one way or another. And if it's not subs and bits, then it's going to be through time viewing something like ads. And, you know, for a long time, I was kind of like against the whole, not against it, but I didn't really like the ad thing. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, wait a minute, Jonah, this is literally the thing that you preach all the time about how you pay for things. You pay for it. You either pay for it with your money or with your time or with your data.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is. And so if you're not paying it with your money, and you're not paying it with your data, then you're going to pay with it with time, viewing ads. Ads is what keeps things available to people who couldn't afford it otherwise. It's always been like that with newspapers, with TV, with lots of stuff. And so, yeah, like, well, maybe not with newspapers. That's kind of a bad...
no, but it would probably cost more, though, here, you know?
I don't know what I'm thinking in that. Maybe news? Maybe just news, not newspapers.
No, but like newspapers were, you know, at some point expensive, and now they're pretty much free, so you can get eyeballs, you know, on ads.
They're just full
of
ads.
And because the ads are in there, it keeps it free, perhaps, right?
Exactly. Or cheap. I don't know if they're free. They're probably just super cheap.
No, it's like, you know, like the Metro dailies, that kind of thing, right?
Or non-existent in some cases. They're just going away, unfortunately.
Check our Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, like, it's, yeah,
The way I see it, though, to give you a counter for that argument is, like, picture this, like, the professional big leagues, you know, real deal, big time streamers who have the potential to make millions of dollars. You can stream on the exact same platform with no barrier to access. All you need is, like, a computer and OBS or something, or a phone.
Yeah.
You don't have restrictions. You don't pay a, you know, a $10,000 license startup fee or anything. Like, you don't take those kind of gambles. So I think it's cool that Twitch is still kind of, like, free in that sense.
Yeah. I do, too. Like, there's a lot of people who don't like the whole ad thing. And
ads are intrusive. Ads could be better. There was like Super Bowl ads. You go out of your way to watch them. Ads are good, that's good.
I am so glad you said that, because that gets to, like, my next argument for ads, which is, I'm like, you don't hate the ads. You hate the quality of the ads you're seeing.
100%.
If it was more interesting, if it was more, people don't like targeted.
Yeah, targeted. Even though I don't like hearing that, but that does help, though.
But it does help, right? And of course, that means that they have to get information from you and blah blah blah.
No, but it's like, you know, make better generic ads, you know?
Yes, exactly. Don't
make stuff that feels so fake,
or something that just seems so
dumb.
I don't know,
implausible, right?
Or more of like, you're not really trying to advertise something, you're trying to get something from me, or I don't know. Like, I do think that the way that an ad makes you feel sometimes is a lot more important than the thing it's selling to you, because even though you may not necessarily know 100% about what's being sold to you at first, if it hits you enough times and you look there and you hit and it sinks in, oh my God, me and Bay were just talking about this last night, because we... We watched on YouTube a 40-minute video of just ads from the 80s.
Oh, those are so fun.
And isn't it? And the thing is like, if you are like an 80s or 90s baby and you hear and you remember those ads and you were a kid, it's nostalgic and it's weird. You start you remember it.
Oh, all the jingles.
Yeah,
totally. 100%.
All the jingles and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, that's
call now, operators standing by.
Exactly. It's like, you, that's kind of what maybe is missing from some ads these days, because of reasons that I'm not 100% sure.
I feel like, but... you know, some of the ads, like, you knew who was doing the ad. Like, remember, like, the movie movie trailer guy with his deep voice?
The movie trailer guy with his deep voice.
Yeah, yeah. He passed away a few years ago, and everything's been like different ever since.
Oh,
but he like did like 9 out of 10 movie trailers in like the 90s slash like 2000s.
You're talking about like 80s. In a world full of
in
horror.
A world. Yeah, okay. Okay. That guy. Yeah,
that I mean, guy.
You knew he was coming. You were listening for him, right?
I didn't realize he passed away. Yeah. But yeah, but those are memorable, right? Like, that was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Do they not do that anymore?
Like one little. Well, I don't think they really do anymore. Just ads suck, right? You don't really have you don't have that same guy every time. It doesn't have to be a guy. You know what I mean? Just, you know, it's missing that like that memorable nostalgic aspect, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, movie trailers now are just like a 4-minute rundown of what the movie's going to be. So stop at any points, you know, so you don't want to ruin the whole plot, right? But
yep,
the longer you watch, the more that's getting spoiled.
So I guess what I'm saying out there, for the people who are listening, is don't hate on the ad so much. It's fine. You can just get up for a minute, go stretch, go get a glass of water, or sub.
Yeah, I mean, ads in a free ecosystem is not a bad thing. But I do agree that it should be the content creator, like, not overwhelming them, and it should just be good ads.
Yeah.
Some streamers definitely turn up the frequency of the ads, which is kind of silly.
What would you think is a decent frequency for you?
Oh, I think I have mine set to like an hour and a half in between, and then I also have it where you don't see it immediately when you come in, just so it doesn't like ruin the vibe right away.
Okay, gotcha. So I'm a little more frequent than that.
The way I see it too is, you'll get to a point where when you have an audience size that's large enough where you'll be profitable off ads, that should not be your primary source of income.
Interesting. Okay.
Or you should have enough people that it's negligible, because they aren't going to see the ads because they're already subbed or something, right?
What would be your primary source of income at that point? Or would it be multiple sources, including that, or just not that?
It'd be multiple sources, but it's just like, I feel like, especially for Twitch, they'd be more fan funding than advertisement. Like, I don't think I would ever really make a dent in ad money on that platform. Like, you know, a few people subbing is just already worth way more than almost like a month's worth of ads, like, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's, and then on something like YouTube, you don't really get people to do a financial transaction as often. And it's just a much higher volume of people. So ads kind of makes a bit more sense over there.
I was just about to say, so YouTube is a different animal because it's because of the volume that ads make more sense. And maybe,
yeah, and YouTube has better targeted ads. There's more variety to them too. You'll probably sit through them. They have different types of ads as well.
Mm-hmm. Most people aren't paying for YouTube, I guess, at that point too. Because
no,
even
not
that
really.
Red and premium,
probably too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh man, premium. Premium is still one of the greatest things they've ever done.
I know. I have had it for years. Like, even when people were like, why are you paying for YouTube? And I was like, because I just don't want to see the ads.
Do you know the extended benefit of your, like, monthly contribution? Do you know how that whole breakdown works?
No, I don't.
This is the single greatest, fairest system ever. You'd expect it not even to be real. It's so fair.
Uh-huh.
So you have, like, you're paying, like, $10 a month or something, right?
Yeah.
You will never consume $10 worth of like content from your favorite creator. You can watch 1,000 of their videos. I think it's like a 30% chance of a pre-roll or something like that.
Really?
Oh, I don't know what it is these days. This is back in the day, right? But yeah, if you refresh a video like 10 times, you should not see 10 ads, basically.
Okay.
Anyway, so you'll just never use up your $10. Whatever is left over just goes into one giant pool, and every single creator on the platform, regardless of who you are, that gets divvied up based on the watch time that your channel generates.
Wow. Kind of like, well, I guess kind of like a lot of, well, maybe not a lot of subscription services.
No, but you
like,
think that, like, you know, the leftover might just go to YouTube or, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, man, it literally goes to all creators, everyone. Even if I'm not subscribed to YouTube Red or making YouTube Red Premium, it just goes to the giant pool. And it's like, guess what? You made 200 hours of watch time. Here's, like, you know, whatever.
Because I was going to say, I was going to compare it to Spotify, but that's actually better because Spotify, you're getting a percentage of the prescription, but just based off of how much they viewed or listened to your song.
Yeah, that's also like per play, but I don't really know.
Yeah, but this is like a big, it's a big pool, and like that's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. So yeah, YouTube Red, it's like a separate little revenue source on your analytics.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
So that rewards you to go and like go make better, longer form like content people are gonna watch. Like, don't necessarily go for like short clickbait.
Yeah, exactly.
Because so the more like they watch, the stuff, higher right, percentage of the pot.
Exactly.
You get.
Yeah, these days it's all about the watch minutes view. Because anyone can fake a view, and anyone can kind of like fake a little bit of engagement. But to sit there and actually watch the whole thing and be there,
right?
That's time. Like you were saying in the beginning, right?
Right. It's one thing to get people to, I mean, it's a sub and subscribe like on YouTube or follow on Twitch. And then another thing to get them to actually come back and actually sit there and consume it in its entirety. Yeah.
So kind of circling back around. That's why I think it's good to have like long form stuff on YouTube that has a bit of a different feel. It can be discoverability. And then you're just kind of like, you know, hanging out on Twitch, you know, shooting the breeze a little bit. Doing a little bit of prep work sometimes, you know, just maybe figuring out the game, learning about the stuff before you go make the overproduced stuff for YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh no, does it have to be
people
overproduced?
People who do like overproduction on like Twitch to an audience size that doesn't necessarily appreciate it even, like, you know, is that a good use of your time and talent?
See, yes, that's a,
like if you're an affiliate and your VOD's deleted in 2 weeks or whatever, and you're going like out of your way, like $100 green, $1,000 mic, $2,000 setup, and no one's watching it. Like, why are you doing this? You know what I mean?
Because the better your equipment, the more people are going to come and watch.
100%. Well, then go make that content available for them on their own time, right?
No, I'm totally beaming that. That's not 100%.
No, I know.
As has been said in many, many videos, like, I'm pretty sure people know this, but in case you don't know.
Oh my God, dude, my most popular video was like headset microphone. It's like so bad.
See, it doesn't matter what your equipment is. It's not going to make your stream any better. Yeah. There are some people who like stream.
It will to a certain extent, but.
To an extent, your microphone is important, right? Like, you know, stuff like that. But in general, like what you were saying, like if there is a point of diminishing returns, I guess is what we're trying to say.
I can give you more examples too.
Give example.
So like, for example, if you are doing like math homework or something and you really need like the answer, you're going to Google it. And then the first YouTube video that pops up, you're going to watch it. If it has the content you want, you will watch through a terrible video quality, horrible, crackly audio source, right? As long as the content is good. Well, no, to a certain extent, if there's no other video, you have no other choice, and you need to know, like, you know,
I'm picky. Calculus. But in general.
In generality, you know what I mean, though, yeah. So that's the content you should be making that gets you, like, that initial set of views. So make tutorial stuff, get found, get seen often.
Yeah.
Get in people's mind. And then, you know, from there, right? Like, start improving audio once you start getting the role. But
yeah. Yeah.
Do you think make the argument that, like, it's important, but content speaks for itself.
Do you think that there is a formula?
For success? Kind of. Yeah. I mean, you just have to be discovered. No one's going to sit down and watch, like, an hour-long video on a Let's Play on a first whim, maybe. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, if you're, like, doing a lot of tutorial stuff, you're confident, the content is good, you know what you're talking about, you're hitting all the search fields, and people are constantly seeing your videos, it might be on their mind. So they might eventually subscribe. So do stuff that gets you found. Be, you know, be on people's mind. They'll kind of be like, oh, I know that guy. This stuff's pretty good. And then when you don't make content for a while, they crave it. And then hopefully that's a winning success, right?
And then you'll win, and then you'll make all the money, and then you can be Mr. Beast or insert big YouTuber.
But no, I think the beauty as well is that, like, everyone produces content differently. Everyone has a chance to make it differently, too. Everyone consumes it differently. And you can find your niche. I think the internet's big enough these days.
I mean, it's certainly big enough. Sometimes I feel like it's too big in the sense of, like, I feel like I have a little bit of content overstimulation sometimes.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because that may be either a me thing or a very personal thing, maybe a lot of people are feeling it.
Yeah, you're feeling it too.
I definitely feel that.
Because the tail end of the pandemic too, that's just been like content overload this whole time.
Yeah, I guess what both consuming and also producing, right? Because totally, like a lot of people had the time.
Oh, everyone became a streamer, dude! Holy smokes.
Okay, I don't need to be attacked like this.
Jonah, like, all jokes aside, like, you and Moose, like, you guys have broken through. Like, Moose, like, my goodness, your views, man. You'll be partner territory soon.
First off, that's incredibly kind.
You're beating 90% plus of the platform easily. And you both produce really good content. People crave
and you know
it.
What?
People listen to the show. They're this deep into this conversation. They're just like, oh, this is so awesome.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, Jedi. You and your glorious Let's Play.
Isn't that crazy how the world just works like that?
Insane. It's wild. It's wild. Like, I'm talking to the person on a podcast that I co-host, and I'm talking to the person that, like, it literally all started with one of your videos. Everything started with just one of your.
I'm just Joe Nobody. That's so crazy.
Amazing. And then, of course, it stuck around when I discovered Twitch from you. 100%. Mentioning a 24-hour stream that you were doing in the summer of 2020.
I love it.
It's so wild. It's crazy. Yeah, it's really crazy how the world works like that. It's just,
I think,
man, and what a small world. And now you're living down here and, like, it's just wild. What a small world, you know?
I think a lot of people feel like that they're just nobody, but then you do something and you do it to touch people, and then it touches someone, and then, you know, I think that's really
beautiful. It feels
beautiful.
Real and relatable in those moments that you're describing, and I think that's what's kind of, like, beautiful about this platform. Yeah. Or just, like, you know, all of this in general, kind of like the everyday man making content for the everyday consumer.
Right.
It's not corporate, it's not fake, you know, you can tell we're trying, we're not the best at it, but, you know, it's real.
Exactly. And as much as there's a lot to poke at, there's a lot to be angry about, there's a lot to say what's wrong, but the reality is like, if it wasn't here at all, like,
yeah,
would any of us have been able to get in contact and share our, you know, whatever, our story, our passion, be able to talk to each other on this podcast, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's cool. It's a cool time to be alive.
It really is, yeah.
We'd have to use, like, just pigeons or something back in the day to send these kind of messages back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. To send your go live tweets, yeah.
Exactly.
I shall write you once I arrive by stagecoach here on this day.
The stream is live. Of September. Stop. We will not stop till we stop. Stop.
Welcome to our podcast, Stop.
Oh, we're recording?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, right.
Yeah, I think so. Although, yeah, Jonah did trick me on the last episode.
Yeah, my God. Oh, sneaky.
Oh, my God.
Halfway through, I went, oh, my God, I'm not recording. And he was like, what? And I was like, no, I'm just kidding.
Got him.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
Is what it is. But yeah, Jedi, you all settled in now? It's been, what, a few weeks now since?
Oh, God. Truth be told, there's so many boxes still.
Is there? Yeah, probably. Because it's only been a couple of weeks, yeah? I'm right? Or maybe a month?
Just over a month. The real issue is that they're turning the downstairs into like a separate apartment. So some of the stuff's getting stored in the garage. And so I want to move some stuff there, but it's kind of in a weird circle.
Is that the construction that you mentioned on streams?
Oh, my
God,
yeah.
That's what it's from, yeah? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's literally aging me. I have actual gray hairs now. It's like I'm like, yeah. The worst of it is over. It's just for like a solid week. They were like lowering the foundation of the floor, so I was like jackhammered every day, and that was just
that's gonna be dusty
and exhausting.
Oh, they were lowering the basement foundation.
Yeah.
So they can create more head space because it probably exactly.
And that was just like being at the dentist, closing your eyes and just feeling the vibration in your teeth or whatever. Oh my God.
did they at least renovate your apartment first?
No, but it's kind of nothing really wrong with it. It's like a little old timey feeling.
Okay. So that would make me go, okay, when are you gonna do mine? Or can I move into that one?
If they do that, that's kind of stuff that makes the rent go up. So you know, just keep it as kind of, you know.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's rough around the edges.
Yeah.
But Jedi, I want a brand new 3-bedroom apartment for $1,000 a month.
Do you know what though? It's like the last place we were at was like very, you know, very posh, and it was nerve wracking because like you don't want to break anything.
Oh, yeah,
you don't want to use stuff. You don't want to like scuff the floors.
Right.
A little more lived in, you know. So it's okay.
Honestly, that's how it feels. And every place I've been in Vancouver, it's like, holy, I don't want to touch anything, you know.
Yep.
It's a weird flex.
Goodbye, damage deposit.
It's a weird flex. I have only lived in nice places.
You know, it's just the Vancouver lifestyle here. It's what you gonna do? I don't know. Something about NFTs. I don't know.
What?
Wait, you guys have NFTs for the podcast? Awesome.
No, we don't. And we're not going to. Wait a minute. Are you an NFT believer, Jedi?
I mean, they really are like Beanie Babies. Like, there are probably a few that still might hold some value, but too many got built too fast. And, you know, a lot of them are just meme-y.
Yep.
It's
also like a symptom of, like, you know, the crypto ecosphere having a bit too much kind of.
Power?
It was at the all-time high. No, not really power. Power is whatever, but you could tell in like the market cycle, we were at the top because that kind of stuff was an evolution of just people being like, you know, rich off meme coins, basically.
Oh, right. Because I totally forgot. Because you were kind of big in, I don't know if you still are, but you're big into crypto and you even did like a stream
back
in the day, late at night. I forgot about
that. Yeah, the late night crypto streams.
They were fun, but they just, like, I don't know, they attracted a weird crowd, you know?
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Because,
you just have people that are just, like, trying to flex on, like, you know, moves they probably didn't even make, you know? And you're just like, okay, cool. I mean, sure.
Yo, I just closed 20,000. A big. Okay. Yeah, all right. Cool.
But no, I thoroughly love it. I feel like crypto is the future. It's just going through, like, you know, market cycles. And I feel like it's kind of on the way down now. Don't quote me, but.
Okay.
So I'm sitting on the sidelines, getting ready to buy some more one day.
Well, they've been going down for a minute, haven't they? I don't know where
the peak was about. I want to say last March, maybe around January, February kind of time frame. 2020, basically when I moved, actually.
And by the way, this podcast is not a source for financial advice, so please do not.
Oh God, please no.
Do what you want.
No, you know, buy high, sell low, right? So can't go up forever, can't go down forever. So I feel like kind of like in the middle, but
buy high, sell low. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Stonks.
I don't remember the crowd that they attracted. I just remember your streams just being like, I stumbled upon one night and I was like, oh, we're doing this now, and I was just so interested.
Yeah, I love it, dude. Crypto, like, be your own bank, verify transactions, make money that way. You know, can't fudge the numbers.
Just like anything, though, like it's only worth something if something is only worth as much as someone is willing to pay for it.
That's how I see the NFTs.
Right, that's what, like, I was going
not
to.
Really, a lot. That's of what I was going to. Besides, yeah. Yeah,
not so much the crypto, but they're kind of in a
blockchain
because technology of
blockchain. Is revolutionary. Yeah. Like you can have elections on that. Like, you know, you can't fudge those numbers. That's cool.
Exactly. So it's like NFTs could have been something, but now
it's like Beanie Babies could have been art. You know, like they almost made it, but they, you know, not quite.
It's
that's
rude,
not to
though.
Say there could not be some comeback, or some might, you know, some might survive, right? But
I feel like it'll probably survive in some form. What that form will be, I don't think anyone really actually knows right now.
It's probably not by accident that like 99% of NFTs have lost value.
Yeah. It's kind of... You could tell when it was getting ridiculous when it started to get like big, like celebrity or just big business names and stuff, like putting their...
Right. So if you're like a market trader, these are the indicators you look for when the market's getting too hot. You know, when your hairdresser's like, oh, you heard of the old Dogecoin?
Interesting. Okay.
That's when you're like, okay, I got to offload.
That's
not financial
that's
advice, but that's kind of like, you know, low key what you're looking for if you're looking to get into this.
And that's what it felt like to me when it was happening. I was just kind of like, wow.
And then the
okay,
opposite,
there's something
when everyone's
wrong here.
Like, oh, it's a scam. Never put your money, buy as much as you can. Oh my God, man. And then just watch the same people that will tell you it's a scam will be the ones being like, oh, yo, so you know, I bought this back on the day. How do I offload it now? I'm also one of those people, like, show people your results, don't tell them your plans. So that's why I'm
yes,
love
yeah,
100%,
yes, right? Thank 100%. You. Which I know is frustrating sometimes because then a lot of times I'll get this at work where people are all like, you know, Jonah, why don't you say what? And I'm just like, well, I mean, I can say some stuff, but I'm not, I don't want to like set you up for like,
yeah.
For something that's not realistic, you know, yeah. And that doesn't work in everything, right? Like some things you do have to state what your plans are, right? You can't get a business loan without stating what your plans are.
No.
But you know where it counts, yeah. Just you know, hold off a little bit and just be like, look, this is what I did. This is
humble
what I produced. And then you can do that flex, and you can say I pulled 20 down or whatever in a stream on Twitch at 2 a.m. in the morning where no one really cares.
Exactly. So that's why you have to have discoverability on another platform. We've circled back around. There we go.
Hey, yo, there we go. We did it. We did the thing.
We can go home now.
We did the thing. Yeah. This is it.
Yo, going back to crypto, I feel like Twitch missed the mark by not integrating crypto at the peak because they would have made mad stacks.
Wait, but how would they do that, though?
They just have their own coin.
Have their own coin.
For memes, like you can buy bits, which is basically like a crypto, but imagine a crypto that you could like hold
on
another platform.
Well, there you go. There's the crypto bitties, tickle bitties.
Yo, Imperial Credits has not been taken. I still want to do my own crypto at some point.
There was one time when I really thought that I was going to start mining Ethereum, and I tried something that someone gave to me, and I accidentally downloaded a virus, and I was like, I'm not, nope, about face.
Yeah, that can be sketched, but in the grand scheme, it's not too hard. There's like stuff these days where you can kind of get like a little scan, and it'll tell you what coin's the best one for your rig.
Yeah. Well, I can't.
And if
I,
you're
I
mean, in like a spot where electricity is not that expensive, it's also pretty profitable. But
there's the, so I'm not, but you know, it's you know, electricity is not expensive here, but I don't think it would really make a whole lot of difference.
But this is not like 2013 where you could like mine off your laptop
exactly.
for a week and go buy a car, you know.
Yeah,
point,
those days are over.
Yeah, you need massive farms, which is, you know, a lot of capital investment, but it's still, there's still money to be made, especially if you can catch this like cycle on the way down.
If you could figure out a way of producing your own electricity and then storing it somehow,
hydroelectric and batteries, the future is now.
Yes.
But no, if you're in a spot where it's like cold climate, renewable sources are available, wind or, you know, or other, like, you can still make money. Remember, there's the video card market's overstocked right now.
I know.
They caught back up. Here we are, you know, cycle and demand. Cycles.
That was a yeah. That was a market that I bought high and sold low in. Unfortunately, I bought my
all things in life, man, just timing.
I bought my last graphics card at basically, it wasn't at the peak. It was like just starting to come down, which is why I bought it, because it was about $300 less. And I was like, oh. And I was like,
dude,
I'll just...
I paid like $1,000 for a 1080 Ti. And I thought that was like way too much until I watched all that happen afterwards. And I was like, okay, that's smart.
I paid $1,300 for a 6900 XT, and now they're going for like $900-$800. And I just want to hurt something.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
And now, and what even makes it even worse is I don't even have that computer anymore because I switched to Mac.
Oh, what? Yeah. I guess it's good for multimedia.
It is. I got frustrated with just everything that was happening with my Windows computer and just all the
update just like, you know, okay, what audio is borked?
Yeah, literally.
Everyone's favorite game, open OBS, hope for the best.
God, yeah.
Oh, I can't hear you. Are you muted? And you're like, oh my God.
anytime you do anything in Windows, I can't hear you. And then all your mic settings are off or you're too hot.
Hot. Like Twitch streaming in a nutshell, man. If it doesn't feel like your first time streaming at least like once a month, like I think you're doing something wrong almost. Like, you can't be too produced. That's what YouTube is for. YouTube, you know, should be the good stuff. That kind of content should not be making its way to YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
But it's almost like fun in the heat of the moment if you're like streaming for 20 minutes and no one's told you and you're muted, right? Like,
but what?
That's what makes Twitch kind of fun. And if you miss that stream, you miss out on that moment. And then, you know, a year later when someone's joking about it, you're like, oh, I wish I was there.
It makes sense. And I don't know, Moose, if you feel like this too, but like it makes sense that Twitch should not be produced, but you still want to produce it.
There's a level of production, but you shouldn't like bend over backwards the way you should for YouTube, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know, because it's like
you should have like a baseline minimum, so it shouldn't just be like jank.
Yeah, but then sometimes I feel like you can do like, I don't know, I get in that loop of like comparing my streams, which is, you know, not the best.
That is such it's hard not to, and it doesn't really serve the purpose very well.
Exactly, 100%.
Have you ever gotten sucked into that, Jedi? Like comparing?
Oh, always, man.
Yeah.
I've been streaming forever, so I have a lot of like professional friends that have like I've seen and helped them get to partnership that have like passed me, you know, time and time over, and it's like, oh, why not me?
Yeah.
But there's so many factors: games you play, you know, times that you stream. There's literally so many things: the language you stream in, how often you smile. Are you a serious streamer? There's like everything. You know, you just two peas in a pod. You can't compare each other.
Yeah, exactly. Because then
two
leads to
a pod. That's the one you wait. Those are the same. What's the opposite of that? Like oil, and I don't know. This is why I'm not doing
it. You know what's funny? You said it, and I just let it roll because I wasn't even thinking.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I was like, no, you're right. That's not the one. What's another thing?
I'm trying to say at least, but
yeah, to a degree.
There's nothing wrong with comparing yourself. It shouldn't be unhealthy, is all.
Yeah, and that's
you can have people where you're like, oh man, that guy's doing great. I want to emulate that. I want to kind of, you know, yeah,
exactly. But it's crazy how quick it can get in your head from something that's like positive and motivates
you. Yeah, that's what's interesting about it.
Yeah.
And you do not know what's going on behind the scenes. You have no idea how much or how little effort is going into making it like feel that way.
Exactly.
And someone's stream could be like, oh man, this guy seemed like he just goes, you know, goes live and that's it. But you could have like 5 hours of prep time to get into that zone or something.
100%. It's all the stuff that you don't see. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's also why I think it's healthy to diversify. So if you need like a few days off Twitch, you can go make some YouTube videos, you know, or like work on a podcast or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, man, I don't know if you guys do this too. If I have like a deadline, I have to do something, that is the best motivator to get me to do something else.
Oh my God.
To do something else.
I gotta finish this. So I'm like, let me go you know, wash the floor, do some laundry. I'm like, cool, I should like get under a deadline more often.
I recently did my latest raid video like an hour before I was supposed to go live. And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do it the entire last week and it until like the hour before. And I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. And I just hurried up and did it. And I was like, okay, this is all right, I guess.
And sometimes you have to go through that whole process to realize that's what it took to do it.
I'm glad that you said that because sometimes it does feel like, okay, like, am I the only one out here? But we've also, we know deep inside, at least I know, that I'm not the only one thinking it, but sometimes you just kind of have to hear someone else say that they've gone through the same thing to sort of like, at least make you feel a little bit. Yeah,
I think their expectations are a little bit off when it comes to like starting streaming these days.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. Yep.
Well, like in what way though? In what way though?
Well, I feel like most people are like immediately trying to make some cash.
Oh,
and are thinking that, like, you know, if they do something really outrageous or like, you know, they're like super like over the top, like that will get them to like the 0 to 1,000 really quick or something.
Right. I
saw a little bit of that. That kind of pushed all those like reaction channels and like, oh, it's just a prank, bro. Like that kind of content was pretty spicy for a while.
You want to know why, though? It's because it happens sometimes to some people. And the thing is those are the people that you see because it happened to them. And so it goes viral and then everyone sees it. And then there's a certain group of people who think that that's happening. Maybe that it's not happening to everyone all the time, but that they're like, oh, maybe that could be me as well.
Yeah.
Because they're nobody too. And now I can be that somebody. And it's like, that's why I don't think that there's really like a set formula for success in like any of this. I just kind of...
No, there really isn't. That's why I think the internet's big enough to carve your niche these days.
Yes. It's like some of it is...
Yeah.
Some of it is previous experience from other people, and that doesn't negate what other people have to say and what their opinions are, like, because that's all valuable. But there is a little bit of, actually there's a lot of luck to it, and really just more of like you figuring
like yes
out.
And no, I want to say there is, but you can create like stack the deck in your favor, make it so that it's like, you know, better odds for you.
Yes, exactly. Like there's luck, but also there are things that you can do to make it, you know,
very
yeah
things in this industry.
Exactly. So
hoping for a 1,000 person rate every day you stream is not, you know, it's not impossible. It's just like, you know, make right some friends, do some networking, get your name out there. So someone with 1,000 people wants to raid you.
But then if, well, I wouldn't want 1,000 people raiding me.
I don't know. I mean, how do you know?
That's
and then at the same time too, like you got to get pushed out of your comfort zone sometimes. So you almost need that to happen when you don't want it to happen and just to see what would happen. So sometimes you don't get pushed off the deep end. Who knows, right?
Jedi, my autopilot is unprogrammed and it's from 1955.
Well, you need an upgrade, my friend.
It will probably send me in places where I do not like the way that I handled my first large raids. I don't like it.
But it's the only way you'll grow them otherwise, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I guess, okay, so to your point, you know, because that they happened, that sort of like at least got that out of my system, and so it's like, okay,
yes,
like
exactly.
now when it happens again, it's not as much of a
that's
of a
how I
startle.
See YouTube recordings in a weird way. Like I'll sometimes just record an episode just to like get her done, just so I could do it again the next day better.
Interesting.
And so like sometimes I'll have a stream where like, you know, it just feels weird, feels off. I got a big raid. Oh. I'm like, why today? But at the same time, it's like, you know.
That actually,
and for the next time it happens, I guess. I don't know.
What you just said actually is a very interesting thing to try. I might have to try that. Like, record whatever you're doing, if it's recordable or in reproducible, just do it and get that out of the way and let it be what it is. And then maybe the next one will be better.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. If it's not good enough. That's actually
like a procrastination cycle. You just have to do something. You can't just sit there and be like, oh, it's so easy, I'll do it in 5 minutes and then keep pushing off. You just sometimes just have to do it. And if you have the time, you'll feel so good because you can fix things, edit, whatever. And just the more you do this, the more you'll kind of see and feel that, whether you're getting it the first time or not. Like, trust your gut. If you're making something and it does not feel right, like, trust your gut. If you have to redo something 100 times, like, your gut knows.
I got IBS, so I can't really trust my gut.
It's just a juggle. You have to have enough time to be able to achieve what you want and still, you know, be realistic. You can't spend 200 hours on a 1 hour project.
I mean, I could, but I probably shouldn't.
You could, but is that a good ROI, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's the time management thing, right? Like you gotta balance that time and make sure that you're investing the right amount of time into, because sure, you could spend 200 hours on something and then it's 100 hours long and then you make, you know, I don't know, $10 from it. It's like, okay, cool. So what's 10 divided by 200?
Right. But you can't go into stuff for money though, because if that, like, you know, $6 per hour project gets over time all your discoverability, then it's worth it.
Yeah. If you are looking at it that way though, it's important too, because like that's more of like how much is your time worth to you kind of a thing.
And it should be worth a lot if you're important.
Oh, thank you.
You're the best. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say with that too is like, don't just go spend and chase like 6 or 8 hours a day live to like 0 to 5 viewers, right? Like maybe 2 hours live and then 2 hours video making or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like the more you do that, the more you'll be comfortable with the process. And
you know, it's like
Like, 20th those... video will be so much better than your first, you know?
Yeah, and having those multiple outlets, too, instead of just sitting there in front of a camera streaming, you know, so to two viewers, and... Yeah, exactly, and just being like, oh, why isn't it happening to me? Why did Jedi get discovered, but I'm not? And you're just not doing the same, you know? You're going live, and that's it.
Yeah. TV in 2013 to nobody for a whole year, man.
Yeah.
And I took a year off. I had 0 to 5 viewers. I think I once broke double digits in a year of streaming, and it was so depressing.
Yeah,
because I had YouTube for lifestyle and like vlogging, and then I had Justin TV for gaming.
Yo.
And then it just did not work. Yeah. So then I tried I tried YouTube for Sim City, and that worked kind of well.
Yes. In case y'all don't know, Jedi is from the Justin TV era.
Hey, yo. Oh my God.
2013 was a weird time. That's when I finally made my account, but I was on there the year before.
Your YouTube, wait, what's it, YouTube or Twitch was the, what was it called? It was called like, T.O. Blogs? Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
I wanted to like be, you know, a semi-competitor to them. So I had like lifestyle and like vlogging stuff.
Oh, that's so good.
Cool, Lord. You just, Blogs.
But yeah, like no one really watched it, right? So I kind of like multi-platform, had fun with it. And it just, you know, became like a fun passion project. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I won't get famous. It's whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then when the new SimCity game came out, I was just so jealous that everyone had early access. And I was like, oh, man, if I just was like a YouTuber, I would have early access, you know? So I just tried hard again with like gaming and stuff. And I got like, you know, a little bit of action that way. And then when Cities came along and I heard about it like on the horizon, I was like, this is the moment. Like everything until now is prep me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I had so much failure. I tried DayZ for a year, like all these other games, nothing worked. And I saw City Skylines and I was like, you know what? With SimCity, people had a hard time getting their city started. People had early access, had no clue. So I was like, this is a chance. Me, nobody can make a tutorial video, and that could be my way in.
And then came Cities in a Snap.
Well, that's fun, too. That's very random. But that's byproduct of the community being just so amazing, right? Like, Skylines, like, there's no competition, and the game's not necessarily new at this point, but it's still, like, front row and center in people's minds for a city builder.
Was there a Sims in a Snap? At any point,
I don't know. I don't really run those Sim too City much. And a Snap. I just do the Planet Coaster ones and the City Skylines ones. But I feel like Sims would also be like a super good format for that.
I think so. Yeah, I think there could be some. Yeah,
they haven't always had the Planet Coaster one. That's new, right? Game for Games.
Yeah, it originally started as like Cities in a Snap, but then kind of went wider. By the way, this is like another channel on Twitch, Games in a Snap. They have events where it's like four people go head to head, and you get like a map and a theme just before. So it's kind of like a fun competition. And usually it's builder games.
Twitch.tv/Games in a Snap.
Nice little plug.
And I heard too, I don't know, there's this, I think it was today. I don't know. There's some co-host there that people know. Oh, it was God. Really cool.
Oh, my second time ever. Today was a hoot, man. Good one.
Yeah. I had it pulled up there while there was some man, it was cool. This is like first time fully watching because obviously I tune in for like you know, it's the Cities ones, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of how I know it from. But it was my first full one where I was actually able to catch some of the Planet Coaster, which is
it was interesting. Today they were converting coasters, and that felt more evergreen because it wasn't really about the game, it was about like the project.
It was such a it's an interesting vibe. I don't know, just from like only seeing like you get so used to the Cities ones, right? And to see it switch up like that, it was cool. It's really cool. Yeah,
I just find it interesting that they figured out a way to tie in Planet Coaster as well, which I think that is brilliant, honestly. And because I don't know what is the tie between Planet Coaster and City Skylines, but
more sandbox is the best way.
That's their
only crossover, I would say.
In my recent Planet Coaster stream, I barely saw any change in viewership when I streamed it. I was like, oh, okay.
It's one of those niche games as well. Like all the building sim kind of ones, you don't really see, unless XQC is in there, you don't really see like 1,000+ viewers on the top of the chart, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the kind of games that you really have to try.
You mean with City Skylines?
Yeah, well, City Skylines might have, like, you know, the odd person that's got a few hundred people, right?
But has XQC played Planet Coaster? I don't know, he played City Skylines.
He played City Skylines to 60-some-odd thousand people.
I know. I was live that day. Well, he's actually
played you were.
He played it multiple times, but the last time I was live. And I I noticed. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, those kind of directories are, I can't speak, the kind of directories we normally play. Yeah, we need to kind of have a little bit of outside help to bring people in. They're just too niche sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. And so that's why Twitch doesn't really like bend over backwards to really do a lot of promoting, you know, in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I at least as far as the gameplay goes, I do see the crossover between Planet Coaster, but yeah, like, you know, directory, if you compare Planet Coaster directory to cities, it's kind of non-existent, basically, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, in the grand scheme of the internet, unfortunately, yes.
I wonder how many people are in the Roller Coaster Tycoon directory. Does it that normally have...
It's smaller than Skylines. It's like a little bit more niche.
Okay. Yeah, but it's like...
It's like Transport Fever, like, you know, like the truck driving games. Like, it's all... You can definitely do well in those directories, but it's not like walking into, like, you know, PUBG or something, and you've got, like, just 400,000 people watching the category.
Because I feel like... I almost felt like Roller Coaster Tycoon is like a cult classic almost, if not.
Yeah, it's the same company. Same Frontier.
Wait, that was Frontier? I did not know
that. Yeah, Planet Coaster and like Roller Coaster Tycoon, same people's.
Oh, wow. I actually didn't know that either.
Atari made the bid for to get them to do, or they made a bid with an Atari for like Roller Coaster Tycoon World, and they said no. And then Frontier is like, well, we'll make our own.
And you're right. Actually, yeah, never mind. There's nobody in Roller Coaster Tycoon.
But then on
right
YouTube,
now.
If you go look, YouTube videos for Skylines, YouTube videos for Planet Coaster can be in the hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I've stumbled across those videos looking for something else, and I was what? The ones where like people create like entire experiences where it's like one ride, but it goes through the entire map, and there's like all these different themes
to
go through.
Because you can enjoy that without even understanding the game at all. You can be like, oh, it's just a puzzle.
Right. Exactly. And I'm looking at that.
Well, for like generic recommendations.
And I'm just like, I'm not, I have no idea how to build a roller coaster. Never mind.
So that's why you want like, you know, an umbrella of content, right? You want evergreen content. You want tutorial content. You want long form. You want short form. You can use like trends to help you get like, you know, tutorial topics that people are going to search for so they can be the pull.
Yeah.
And then you can work on things like your audio, you know, your thumbnails, like consistency, that kind of stuff. So people are like, oh, yeah, cool, this video. I'm looking forward to the next one. Instead of, like, oh, man, this, you know, like this jerk again. God damn it. Why are you the only one making content? And that's my TED Talk, right? Yeah, right.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Is there any questions?
TED Talk's kind of got like not as good with a TEDx or whatever.
What happened with TED Talks? Did they just...
Well, TED Talks themselves are great, but you know, TEDx, you can just be anybody and just have like a TED Talk now. So I could go host a TEDx and be like, hey, I'm doing a TED Talk. And everyone's like, wow.
Oh.
It's like, you know, within reason. Yeah, that's kind of it.
What makes the person that's doing a TED Talk like the authority in the thing that they're talking about, I guess?
I would say if you're like a professional in your field that's like well-renowned or like well-known, or you've put in enough hours that you just honestly know what you're talking about.
Like peer-reviewed almost?
Yeah, it could be peer-reviewed, or it could just be like, you know, I've been, you know, doing this job for 30 years. I am the expert. Ask me anything you want.
But anybody could say that, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
But I would listen to anybody that has kind of like, you know, expertise, right?
I guess their perspective is important. Whether it actually is applicable to what you're doing is something that you'd have to decide for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But that we're circling back. Anyone can carve their own niche. The internet's big enough, right? Because some people might find that super fascinating.
Exactly. And that's a good thing about it. You know, even though that someone might be wrong or someone may not be your forte, it doesn't mean that it doesn't need to exist.
Oh, also, a really good piece of advice is, like, produce the content that you would consume yourself. So that way, when you're making your own content, you don't hate it.
Yes. So true.
A lot of people, like, pigeonhole themselves and just, like, they literally hate the content they produce, but they can't stop because it's the only thing that works, you know?
I'm nodding my head, and then I just realized that no one can see that, but yes.
I saw it. Yeah.
I agree.
Just for the video podcast, I thought, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
See? That's for the Patreon. That's...
Make sure you subscribe.
That's where the video part would come into play.
Is this episode sponsored by Jedi? Yeah, Jedi's tech tips.
Wow,
I think.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Wow.
Who would subscribe to that?
Oh, okay.
I want to get your take, Jedi. I want to get your take on 5B1C. Oh, I'm sorry, Boost. Yeah. Did you want to say?
No, that was same question. I was 5B1C. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because like
What's it like? Break it down. Yeah. How's it shooting content?
It made me a better like city builder because I was kind of moving up in the ranks with like people that were like really good at it.
Right, right.
And for me, my big meta moment was like putting the pipes under the road because of city planner plays.
Wait.
Because you have people that are just like used to an actual city planner plane, and that me coming in as a cowboy, you get a little bit like, you know, pulled apart in the comments section.
Oh, yeah, really? 100%.
But that pushes me then outside of my normal kind of like comfort zone, and I tried something different. I was like extremely pleased with the result.
So wait, so was someone else was putting pipes under the road, you didn't, and then people tore you up about it or something like that?
Yeah, we were on the same, like, you know, region map or whatever, right? And like mine, I just kind of go for like space efficiency, and people were like, bro, what are you doing? And I hadn't even considered it. I was like, oh, it's efficient.
Which, like, for people who don't know, that's a series on YouTube where they get five different builders to build on one map, and they pass the save file back and forth. And I guess from what I got from Yumble, apparently the mods too.
Yeah, that's, oh my god, man, I don't mean to yell right there, but that in itself is a headache.
And that right, like, there is a no for me. Mainly because
we try to keep it so simple, it always fails. But that's okay though.
Mainly because I can't use load order mod, at least as far as I can tell, because I'm on Mac, and theoretically the mod itself works on Mac. But yeah, the EXE file doesn't. Right, and that would be the only way that I would even entertain it.
PC for that one.
Yeah, I would have to use load order mod to, you know, load up a particular profile for the build and then update the profile every time I get the save file. And then that would be fine. But
this is like the third season now, and it's gone from like the craziest mod list to like now we're at the bare bones, and it's a lot easier for passing files. Stuff still goes wrong. Okay. The most common thing is, like, you know, between a save, someone will have like the test version versus the stable version of a mod.
Oh.
And that'll, like, you know, like mess all the traffic president stuff or get all the...
Jeez.
And that would be my problem. Because in order for me to have the loading screen revisited, I have to have the test versions of...
Right, yeah. Or you still think sometimes in the heat of the moment, you just look and you're like, oh, I got that mod, it's cool. And you record two episodes, you're like, pass it on, and you're like, oops. So, I mean, accidents happen. So
that would be a headache.
That's why everyone does these kind of, like, series, right? But... Yeah. When it does work out, it works out really well.
But you enjoyed being in it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and I feel like it really makes me a better player. And it's cool because you're with people that are, like, you know, doing well, and you want to strive for that too. So it motivates you.
Is it any different? Like, how is it, I guess, because, you know, you make YouTube content. How different is it doing content for this? Or is it pretty similar to the stuff that you normally do, whether that be your Let's Plays?
Well, my own stuff is just, like, the pacing in which I put it out is really inconsistent. Whereas, like, when you're doing that, you have to be, like, Johnny on the spot. You can't delay everyone else. So it's pressure. Yeah. I don't like putting myself into pressure, but I know if I don't, then I won't really grow or evolve.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could see that probably helping a lot too, because it's like so many. I mean, you got so many awesome names on this series, right? And you got this deadline. It's like, we gotta, right? You don't want to disappoint. Yeah. Yeah. It's,
it does push you to be a little bit better, like whether you like it or not. And in the heat of the moment, I like almost hate myself for signing up for this every time, but it just, it's how you'll grow.
Yeah, exactly. There's this, I imagine lots of positive outcome from that. Plus, even just collaborating with some of the amazing people that are on there, right? And sort of creating that connection.
And everyone
point of
does it so differently, so it's so fun to, like, you know, pick people's brains and, like, kind of pull back the curtain sometimes and see how things are done. And also, just, you know, it's fun just kind of getting to know the person behind the mask, because everyone has their own kind of, like, stream persona, their YouTube person.
Interesting. You know, like, I never thought of it from that. Yeah, you get to see that. Ah, that's cool. That's really cool. See that side.
That's
of
why also on different platforms, you should almost be like a different person. Like, Twitch is a little bit less, like, you know, it's more chill, so you can kind of be a bit more chill. YouTube is a bit more serious. You should be more serious. I say that in the sense that the videos on YouTube are meant to kind of like last, and they're going to be a testament to, like, you know, 10 years from now, are you going to be really cringe or just medium cringe? Whereas on Twitch, like, be as cringe as you want, because the VOD disappears in 2 months or less, right? Who cares? People make a highlight because it's good. Otherwise, you know, don't fret.
I'll try and be more cringe.
But that's what people sometimes want. Like, another good way to look at it too is, like, Twitch is a great way to kind of stretch out something that only takes an hour. You can make it into an 8-hour event.
Yeah.
And that's fun because you want to, like, kill the day and have some time, you know, just hang out. Whereas on YouTube, if you're doing something that takes like 1 hour and you stretch it out to 8 hours, people are going to hate you, man. You can't just talk about your cats on a pasta recipe. You got to be to the point, you know? YouTube, take it more seriously. Be a little bit more chill.
Yeah.
If you had any suggestions for someone who was going to do 5B1C, what would that be, if there are any? any tips for that person?
That's an odd one. I don't know. Just build what you are comfortable doing. Like, I really wouldn't take too much risk because you don't have as much time to pull it off, and it could be maybe negative. I don't know. But at the same time, out of your
how much time do you have to do it on each turn?
You have like a week and change for the pass, and usually it's a couple episodes or so.
Does it just pass once between streamers, or is it multiple times?
No, we're gonna be doing three passes at least for this current season.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, there's a season going on. See, people probably already know. They're like, Jonah knows nothing about City Skylines.
Yeah, we're like 30 or 40 episodes in.
Yeah. This is like, get on, Jonah.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, internet, no.
I'm just.
I only have so much time in the day.
There are so many people I support, and I will never watch a single minute because I just never have the time. You know.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. This is how it works sometimes, though. You know, time is a precious thing.
Yeah.
Not that I was actually going to try and do it, but I feel like Moose might want to do it one day.
It is a lot of fun, and like really good community overlap, and like. You know, you see a lot of familiar faces, meet a lot of new people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the fact that everyone, especially with City Skylines, you play it so differently. Like where you live is a factor. How old you are is a factor. Like what your goals are. You have a car in real life. All that stuff
is so cool.
Factor.
It's so cool.
The more people you watch all, you know, play and stuff, and you just start soaking all that up and it becomes just like one big, like just ongoing community conversation of like how to build cities and stuff. It's cool.
I love that about this game.
I mean, who would have thought that a game about building cities was just as diverse as the people who are living in cities?
The game's the medium. It's the people. It's the community people that make it so good. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot of sweethearts in the City Skylines directory.
Oh, man.
A lot of 100%. Friends like for life, man. Like it's crazy how a game just kind of changes things like that.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's funny. Even people that like... Do you get people that... will watch your streams that don't even play the game, the cities. So they just
love
the community
aspect. That's what you want to start working on more, because then you can start breaking out of just your own niche.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's just it definitely is a testament to the City Skylines community.
It's people like Cuboid, man. It's the mods.
Yeah. Oh, 100% it is. Yeah.
Sandbox game combined with mods, combined with a game company that embraces mods, is a recipe for just like the best time you can get on the internet.
And that's if that's what you want to do. If you don't want to break out of your own bowl, then, you know, do you.
Yeah, it's single players. You don't have to do this stuff. It's true.
Yeah, but for the person who is looking out there to, you know, expand and get past that, then I think that these are actually really good, really good tips for that. And of course, they come from you because you've been in it for a minute, so you've definitely seen all the highs and lows and everything.
Man, it's an ever-evolving landscape, and if you feel like you know it all, you know nothing.
The moment you think you know everything, it changes. You're like, oh, and it's like the moment you think you're on top, there's someone else that comes up and they one up you.
That's
and
why
you're
it's dangerous to compare, because other people might just be on a streak, and you just really don't know what the struggle was to get there. You know?
Yeah.
So don't compare. It's not impossible to not, you know, you're going to do it, but just don't let it be a toxic event, you know?
You also don't know what their goals are, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for real. Yeah.
Like, they could be different from yours. And maybe in that you realize, oh, crap, maybe I don't even know what my goals are. What are my goals?
Yeah, it's kind of one of the first things you should ask someone, like when they're like, oh, I'm new to streaming. What's up? Like, what are your goals? That's kind of the rest of your starting point.
Yes. Yes. Great questions. Great questions, but unfortunately, you know, to answer that question, it's not just like a, it's not just, even some people who were looking for like just a generic answer, it's like even that generic answer is probably not going to be a great one. You have to know at least a little bit, like what is your goal? And if you don't have a goal, then I guess that's a place to start, I guess.
Yeah, no, literally, yeah.
At least for me, anyway. I'm one of those people who started and didn't really have a goal. And I think
I had a goal. I was selfish. I wanted early access to video games, man. I wanted like fame and fortune and stuff when I first really started, but I just didn't really know any better. And then when I kind of went back into it, I was like low key trying to get like, you know, SimCity and that kind of stuff early.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, I guess that is an interesting.
Well, I never really thought it would be like, you know, money making. It'd be cool to have some, you know, a little bit of cash, right? But I just wanted early access to games. That was kind of my starting point.
But do people still, well, I mean, I know that I understand that you might, and we don't have to go there, but like in general, like do people still get easy access to early games, or is it now sort of like the rug has been pulled up and it's only reserved for like certain people for
great reasons. No, it's like a dartboard. You know, the closer you get to the center, usually the bigger you are. So you get more opportunity if you get bigger, but you can still kind of be a nobody.
But the opportunities are still there. You don't have to be the biggest streamer. Yeah. Okay.
And it's be like layers of opportunity. You might just get the game for free at like, you know, level one. But if you're like a level five streamer, they might be like, here's the game early. Here's some money to go with it. If you hit this viewer count as well, you get a bonus or something.
I think for a lot of people these days, they don't even want to be early. They're like, I just want it for free. If it's the day it comes out or...
I was a bright college boy. I spent a lot of money on games. You know what I mean? I needed to kind of make some savings happen.
Exactly. It's like, I'll stream it all and just give it to me for free.
Dude, it was so awkward asking your parents for money and then just buying a video game and then just not having anything to show, you know, in air quotes. They'd be like, why is your fridge empty? You'd be like, I don't know. You know, like,
you were on that.
What happened to the money
grind
I sent you? I'm like, you know, in an unrelated story, this new game I'm playing is really fun.
I was never really that dedicated to video games.
I was born into video games.
Yeah.
Had a Commodore, like an Atari. Oh man, my first computer was a Pentium 2. I built that one.
Pentium 2?
Pentium 2, 233 megahertz.
Oh.
I think I had it was like an 8 gig hard drive, maybe like 256 megs of RAM or something like that. I think, I don't know.
Oh, you young whippersnappers don't know what a computer was. A Pentium 2.
Well, I had a Commodore. The first computer I built. I had like a Fujikama 486 with a turbo button. Let's go.
I was literally about to say my first computer was a Commodore.
Yeah, man, I had all that. Like, you know, the Fisher Price fun game to play with it.
The
like,
first
what was
one,
that one too.
I don't remember the first. I do not remember the first computer I built.
Yeah, my uncle and my dad helped me. They're like super huge computer nerds. I was out of consoles like so early that I missed out on like Halo and like Metal Gear and all these other cultural phenomenons because I was a computer nerd.
Same. Like the last console that I had was a Sega Genesis. Not even like the upgraded ones.
Ahead of its time.
Yeah. And that was the last.
Oh my god. Genesis and Game Gear. Those were so good.
That was the last one. And so the only way that I ever got to play games is by going to Blockbuster and renting games for it. And, you know, playing it for a little bit and then returning it. I never...
Oh my god, man. I remember renting like N64 from Blockbuster before my parents got me one.
Which is weird, because my parents got me a computer, but they didn't see the value in, like...
Well, a computer at the time was like, it was a tool. You had like Encarta, you know, your encyclopedia stuff. It was research.
But like the Commodore, like I've asked my parents to this day, like, what were you thinking giving a Commodore in the 80s? I was like a kid. I was like, you know, five. And they're like, oh, I think you could have just used it for school. And
Like, it was a tool. It wasn't really a gaming machine the way it is now or multimedia.
But that was the thing, though. We quickly found out that wasn't the case. Even with me going to like a private school at the time, I tried to one time, the first and last time that I tried to use a computer for school, I tried to type up whatever, I don't know what it was. I typed something. And I printed it out on our dot matrix printer.
Oh, yes, dude. Ribbon fed.
With the holes on the side that you had to tear off.
Yes, man. Ribbon paper is the best. I miss those days. So easy.
And I brought it in, and they're like, what's this? And I was like, it's my paper. And they're like, no, it's not. And it's like, you did this? I was like, yeah, I typed it on my word processor, on my computer at home.
Oh, handwritten only.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, no, it needs to be handwritten, double spaced, you know, on loose leaf paper, blah blah blah. And I was just kind of like,
how the times have changed.
And that was, and that was the end of
me. If you hand that in now, teacher, be like, why didn't you type this? Oh my god, you know, I'm gonna lose this, you know.
Exactly. And that was it. And then it sat there for a while, and then I started figuring out that I could play games for it, and that's how I found SimCity.
Man, I remember playing original SimCity, dude.
That was my first city builder, was SimCity on a Commodore 64. Yes, y'all, SimCity ran on a Commodore 64, but you had to have a tape drive to save your progress, which I didn't. So anytime I turned off the computer, I lost everything. So I would leave it running overnight, and my parents got upset, and they kept coming in turning it off that I didn't know. And... I told them why I was leaving it on, and they're like, we don't care. It's running up the electric bill. Turn it off at night.
I love it. We've come so far, man. Like, the internet now. So crazy.
I know. We've gone from not being able to save things because we don't have a tape drive to now four dudes in, well, 2.5 different places in the continent talking to each other in a podcast who have never met each other, although two of them could have, but one of them didn't because he had to go to a concert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, I still cry at night about it, but it is what it is.
And, well, who's the fourth one? What are you, what are the three of us here?
No, no, no.
Sasquatch? I just said,
no, I just, I said three.
Say three? I thought you said four.
Did I say four?
Could be Buttspot listening in, I don't know.
Run the tape back.
Yeah. Hello, FBI.
Run the tape back.
Run the tape back.
Nah, I feel so bad for the agent assigned to this one. My God.
Hi, agent. Hi. What was it called? NSA? Hi, NSA. Like an awesome. I don't really mean to like close it up, but Moose, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about this evening? Or like,
I mean, yeah, I could literally go on forever because do I have a list of things I'd love to ask Jedi? Yeah, 100%. But I don't want to push it too crazy long because some of the things, topics that I would love to ask as well too are, they'll probably run a little bit long. So, just being able to oh my God, it's crazy. It's just, it's kind of surreal. I don't know, just to be here from where, like from the first time I found your content or found
you. For me, it feels surreal as well. Like to watch you guys like grow and have your channels become established. You have communities, you know, and it's like the internet's a big place, but there's so much familiarity. Like, you know, everyone, but you don't, and you get to know each other differently in other places. And it's just, that's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry that this is the first time that we're talking in VC. Cause like, I haven't, I gotta get in actually, I'm not even in your Discord. I know that you guys do VCs in your Discord sometimes.
Yeah, we like just, to chill. Yeah.
And just chill sometimes.
I feel like, on Twitch, it's like, you don't really get this sometimes. And this is kind of nice, you know?
Yeah. No, this is, Moose keeps yelling at me to get in VCs. And I'm like, I'm like, I will. Most likely, I will do that. Most likely, I will probably be doing what you do, Jedi, which is just lurking and listening because I'm probably going to be doing like nine.
Yeah, enjoy
that
too.
The same
ask me for a second monitor. Get some work done and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, I need a third monitor. I really
same.
Do.
Oh my God. A little tablet monitor would be good just for like Twitch chat and like a little media player.
Can I now just when I recently downsized my monitors to 27 inches from 32 and I couldn't do it?
I feel like 28 to 32 is a good. 27 feels a bit small. It's funny you say that because I have a 28 and I had a 27 before, and it's a very noticeable difference for some reason.
Yeah, well, especially from 32.
I'm striving for 32 for my next one, so I can make my 28 my side.
Do it,
yeah.
Because I'm doing like I think it was a 27 that broke. This is why it felt so awkward. But yeah, I had to like go to a smaller monitor for my side. I'm just like, oh,
Moose, how big are your monitors?
I think the main one here is 34 curved or something is my main.
Ooh,
and then
curves nice.
It's super nice. And then the other ones are 20 something. I forget the exact amount. 20 something for both the two other ones that I have. Yeah.
I just if what you 20, can't go down.
24
once you
maybe?
Go 24 up.
Yep.
You can't go down.
When I started, I had a 23 as my main, and now I don't think I could ever even go back to that. No. It just seems like laptop size almost.
I would love a 23.
Even my laptop. My laptop's a 17 inch, and that I could never go smaller. I love it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I recommend, getting a gaming laptop for y'all if you're on the go often.
Oh, are you offering?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that part of the. Okay, cool.
I have a markup on them. I want you to know.
I didn't see that on the contract, but.
I thought about that. Anytime that I'm in a market to look at a laptop, I'm always like, should I just get a gaming laptop? And then I always end up getting
a
MacBook. The only laptop that I have right now is the one from work, which is a MacBook, and it's a 14 inch, and it's about 17 inches too small. So,
15 inch screen, like it just feels so tiny. 17, it feels right for monitor for a laptop. I would love bigger, but it just gets silly.
17 is right. It's just not portable.
No,
maybe.
I'd have a numpad as well. It's so wide. I love it though.
I know.
It's one of those like Acer. I think it's Acer. It's like a Predator, one of those like gaming ones.
Oh, okay. Like, well, the Predator is not going to be portable because they're chonky.
It is. It's portable in air quotes.
They're a chonk.
But I still use it though, like on the go, and I can play like VR games and stuff off it, which is wicked.
But seriously, thank you for being here, because like this has been like very educational.
A lot of fun.
I could just listen to you talk all day, and in fact, sometimes
I feel that
I
way about you guys
on Sundays.
Yeah, this with is your streams. Yeah,
it's very yeah.
Do you still work? Do you?
I do.
Oh Lord, that just. I think even one time I mentioned it, I was like, Jedi's probably somewhere around here. Don't come out.
I just
alert,
like
though.
I don't. You can tell like whenever I like break the lurk ice, I just talk way too much. I almost like steal the show a bit. So I love it's kind of watching streamers in their like, natural environment. If that makes sense.
That makes complete sense.
That makes 100% sense, and I get that. And so because you know people just can't help themselves. You're our celebrity Jedi.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't think of that at all. You know, like I'm just like Joe Nobody. Like you and I are equals as far as I'm concerned.
Oh no, we're totally equal, 100%.
100% we are.
You're definitely on my level, 100%.
But no, in the grand scheme, you know what I mean, right? I don't really think of myself. Hey. I still put on my pants one leg at a time and sometimes fall over.
Wait a minute. Okay. Wait.
Bro,
wait,
I don't have 100% accuracy some days, man. I don't know what it is.
No, you just blew my mind. You put your pants on one leg at a time?
Well, yeah, just in case, right?
I've been doing it wrong this entire time.
You go two at a time, man. That's like prone to failure.
Yes. Jumping up and down, trying to shimmy.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Them.
Well, I do two leg at a time if I'm wearing like my skinny jeans. Actually, I don't know. I'm just trying to think about this. This is the longest goodbye ever. I love it. This has been a lot of fun. I don't know how long we're at, but anyone who's still like listening to the whole thing didn't fast forward. We appreciate you too.